The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. Welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. That's right, Bears All Access brought to you by Uber, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. We've got you for the next hour, all things Bears, as we are a week away from Chicago Bears 2016 NFL training camp. Obviously, it's a great time to take the families down to Bourbonnais, Olivet Nazarene University down there, about 60 miles south of Chicago. And what other major league sport do you have the opportunity to get up close and personal? Every camp around the National Football League is free. You can get autographs. The Bears go above and beyond in one of the best training camps in all of the National Football League in terms of access. So we are going to get you set. We're going to take you around the NFC North. All the moves made by second-year general manager Ryan Pace and what John Fox can do year two as the Chicago Bears head coach. Plus, we're going to take plenty of phone calls as the program rolls along. 312-644-6767, excuse me. And the Bears are going to be allowed to join us here later. Outside linebacker Sam Acho should be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. But who better to break it down over the next hour? None other than my partner, one Tom Thayer. Tom, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
Big Jim, doing great, doing great. You know, thinking about training camp and the Bears getting ready to head down to Bourbonnais, it's exciting because of all the years they spent at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, even though they were supported superbly by all the Chicago Bears fans, I think it's a lot better now for the Illinois fan base of the Chicago Bears to come down to Bourbonnais and really enjoy the experience. Like you said, it's only about 60 miles away. They have a great setup there for bringing your young sons and daughters and the young kids that have a real interactive area out there with all the different setups they have there to go out there and test their skill at some of the different football events and just the games that they have out there for them. And then you can get up close and personal at practice. You can listen to offensive line coach Dave Magazoo go through his instructions with the offensive line as they stand 20 feet away from the rope. Or you can hear Dow Loggins go through all of his instructions with the quarterback and the whole offense. You can hear Vic Fangio give his instructions to the defense and how he's trying to instill his message to all the players out there. And it is a great time to go out there, take a real enjoyable ride, spend a couple hours out there in Bourbonnais in the Kankakee area, and either enjoy a restaurant before or after you go to practice. But then, you know, Jim, we were talking about this the other day, that I think last year we didn't know what type of practices Coach Fox was going to offer to the fan base, because I think we got caught into a rut and we had some soft practices going on and he was taking it easy on the guys. That wasn't the case with John Fox. Every practice that they were in full pads was physical. It was full go. They had either individual drills, against one-on-ones against offensive and defensive linemen, blocking drills against running backs, tight ends, and linebackers. And then the teamworks they went through, it was full go up until the last day of practice. And I think the last day of training camp practice was the most aggressive full go practice on the last day of camp that I've seen in probably 20 years around the Bears. And I think that was a great surprise for all of us, because I think that's the way you really develop a football team realistically. And I think this year, these guys know what to expect a little more. You know, make sure you have air in your helmet. Make sure your shoes are tied tight. Make sure if you need tape for your fingers, you have them all taped up. And I think that's what I'm most excited to see here as they get prepared to go to training camp.
Yeah, next Thursday, they'll be reporting July 28th. First practice will not be in pads. It'll be 9:35 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. It's not till Saturday, July 30th, that they'll put the pads on. And you mentioned the intensity last year at John Fox, you know, trying to create that mentality, bring back the toughness, monsters of the midway on the defense. From what you've witnessed up close and personal through the OTAs, the mini camps, and I know it's, you know, it's the Olympics somewhat, they're not in pads out there, but that type of intensity, that type of focus when you always bring up, Tom, you know, you get your biggest improvement from year one to year two as, say, a rookie breaking into the NFL. Do you think that about the Bears going into the 2016 season, now their second go-around with John Fox? Has that intensity really carried over this offseason?
You know, I did. You know, last year, I was really interested to see what Pernell McPhee was going to do as a member of the Chicago Bears. And I was watching him go through one-on-ones against the tight ends and even the offensive linemen. And I remember talking to some of the players out there going, boy, you guys better crank it up because Pernell McPhee doesn't mess around. And when he goes full speed. Whether it's one of those individual drills where they're doing one-on-ones or they're going through their teamwork steps. And he was the one guy that really opened my eyes to the intensity that was going to be needed in order for this team to take a major step forward. And now when I see Pernell McPhee being out there with Danny Trevathan and Freeman and even the young guys like Leonard Floyd, and I just think that these guys, the intensity is really going to be cranked up. And it's going to spill forward to the defensive line, spill backwards to the defensive backs, and it's going to carry over to the offensive line because I think you have a more well-structured offensive line going into training camp this year than you did last year because there was uncertainty, there was injuries, there was still considerations of where Kyle Long was going to play. And I think there's going to be more pieces in place at the beginning of training camp that's going to crank up the intensity of the practices when you do get into 9-on-7 and you do get into teamwork. And then now when you got every single drill that's taped, Jim, you know the seriousness that adds to it when you go into those meetings and the evaluation process is so much more strict than it is throughout the OTAs when you're out there in no pads.
You know, Tom, a year ago there was so much uncertainty. What's going to happen with Jay Cutler? How is John Fox, Ryan Pace going to evaluate this quarterback? Ended up being one of Jay Cutler's most efficient years in the National Football League. In the key potentially to the Bears' success, yes, an improved defense, all those things help out, is the continued improvement of Jay Cutler, to have that leader, to have a quarterback that can win games. Maybe just touch on that, because Jay, in my opinion, really showed that grit and I think won over his coach, John Fox.
Oh, Jim, I agree 100% because last year when we were going into camp, Jay Cutler was the biggest question mark on the Chicago Bears. And then when you finish the season, he was probably the MVP of the Chicago Bears. But I think it increases this year because we understand what Jay was able to do within the John Fox offense in the first year in this system. And I think our expectations got a raise for Jay. But then when you bring in a guy like Brian Hoyer who has experience, and when they do have conversations off on the sidelines or after practice or in meetings, now you're having a lot more veteran influence in that quarterback room that can help an experienced player like Jay Cutler. And then when you try to get the message across that Dow Loggins is going to deliver not only to Cutler and Hoyer and the rest of the quarterbacks, but that entire offense, I do think you got to see an offense that develops faster. They get a better understanding of this whole system. They understand the language to carry over from last year throughout the OTAs going into training camp this year. Because, you know, Jim, the difficulty of football language is so hard to understand in the first year of a system that people are slowed and their development is challenged throughout that process because when they're in a mode of thinking, it slows their ability down. And I think a lot of these guys are going to be doing a lot less thinking and a lot more developing.
Well, it's interesting, too, as we flip it over the defensive side of the ball, the impact of what Kevin White will have on the outside, Alshon Jeffrey. What about the impact of the new players on defense? And can that defense take another step forward here in 2016? We've got plenty to get through. We'll take you through the NFC North. Going to be a very competitive edition. We should have outside linebacker Sam Acho on the other side. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Keep it right here. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears. It's a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon. Inside the Bears airs every weekday, or weekend, excuse me, on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check it out. All the segments anytime. So we left off talking about the Bears defense. Who better to break it down for us? There's always that anxiety as the Bears are scheduled to report to training camp next Thursday will be their first non-padded practice. So let's go out to the guest line and welcome in Bears outside linebacker Sam Acho to the program. Sam, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, good to talk to you, bud. There's always that anxiety. How you feeling, bud? You're just around the corner.
I think we just get more excited for the opportunity. And especially this year, we saw a lot of excitement build towards the end of last season. And now we're starting to see, you know, we've gotten some new pieces, and we're feeling excited for this year.
Hey, Sam, I was reading an article that came out a while ago from the Sun-Times, and you were saying that there's a lot of unfinished business. That was one of the reasons why you wanted to come back here as a free agent. What is the unfinished business personally, and what is the unfinished business defensively team-wise for you?
Well, I'll talk about team-wise first. I think that personally our goals can match up with the team. The unfinished business is that there were so many games last year where we were in, but we didn't finish those games, right? I mean, I think we counted about seven different games or eight games that came down to, you know, within three, four points or one possession, and we were 4-4 in those games, right? The good teams win all those games. So as a team, once we get better, our mindset, our confidence, our understanding of key situations, we'll understand how to win those games. So that's kind of what I mean when I say we have unfinished business as a team. Secondly, is that we also, you know, I've been around long enough to know when things are getting ready to turn. I've been around some turnarounds in both ways. When I was at the University of Texas, we went from a national championship undefeated season my junior year. We ended up losing Alabama to a 5-7 season my senior year. And then when I was in Arizona, I went from 5-11 to 10-6 and 11-5 with Bruce Arians. And so I've been around some major turnarounds, and that's what I'm seeing with the Chicago Bears this year. Obviously, had some tough seasons in years past, but last year with Coach Fox, Brian Pace, some of the new additions that we had on the team and also in the coaching staff, I know things are getting ready to turn. And then finally, you add in the draft guys we got this year, and also the free agents. We know that now is the time.
It's interesting, Sam, because you brought up closing out games, you know, the close games that you guys just fell on the losing end of it a year ago. And certainly, you know, probably offensively, though, that's going to be a goal in their room as well. And you guys on defense that you just mentioned. But what other goals? Like, what did Vic Fangio, does he post those goals for you guys? If you reach this level of achievement, these are going to convert into win totals. What are some of those goals other than closing out games?
Yeah, we have goals as a team. We have different goals. We have a list of goals for every game. But then as the season goes on and as we play different opponents, we have different goals for each opponent. And so I think I remember when we were playing Minnesota towards the end of last season, it was keep Adrian Peterson under 80 yards, right? Along with our goals of, you know, I don't know, 13 points or less and three turnovers, X, Y, and Z. Every team has their goals. So each week we have a different goal specifically set for whatever team we're getting ready to play. But as a unit, the biggest focus for the coaching staff and for the players was that each one of us just get better. You know, obviously you have off seasons and people say, well, the Bears need this piece or they need that piece or they need this player or that player. But at the same time, the guys on the field are the ones who make the plays. And so Coach Fox challenged us and Coach Fangio challenged us each individually to get better. Find a way. If it's your pass rush, if it's your coverage, if it's getting in and out of your break, if it's your mindset, find a way to get better. And so that's, I think, what each one of us has taken personally as being a Chicago Bear.
You know, Sam, I have a great deal of respect for veterans that come out and are considered a core member of the special teams. And last year at the beginning of the season, that was one of the hiccups you guys had early in the year. How much improvement should, as Bears fans, should we expect of the special teams? Because now you guys have been in Coach Rogers' system for a year. You understand it a little bit better. And then the competitiveness of the players that they were able to bring in. How important is that?
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest, a lot of us really didn't really believe and understand the importance of special teams. And it's hard when you're a young team with some young players. You just want to, you know, get your spot on offense, get your spot on defense, and do your job there. But, you know, in the NFL, there's three aspects to the game. There's offense, there's defense, there's special teams. And I think as the season went on, obviously the film doesn't lie. The film shows that as the season went on, we got a lot better as a unit in special teams. And I think that's because a lot of us started to understand the importance of that third phase of the game. And so from, once again, the unfinished business, finishing off last year on a high note, we were one of the top teams in the league if you just look at the second half of last year. And then also the additions we have, Omar Boland's a guy who's been a beast on special teams when he was in Denver. He understands Coach Rogers' system. And also the guys maturing and understanding the importance of special teams. Sherrick McManus stepping up. Chris Przinski and his ability to make plays. The list goes on and on. We understand what it's going to take to win, and that's being excellent in all three phases.
Well, Sam, you know, every year in training camp, certainly I know Tom can probably speak to this because that 85 Bear team, he probably knew they were going to be pretty darn good, just how guys are going to fight for one another coming out of camp. And I saw glimpses of that last year, offensively and defensively of the Bears. What's your take on how this team will gel together coming out of training camp and how hard they're going to fight for one another to build upon what you laid a year ago?
Well, the biggest thing I've noticed is the competition level that we have this year as opposed to last year. We've obviously, Ryan Pace and Coach Fox and the whole staff have done a great job of adding pieces to the team, which is always great. But internally and individually, we have grown as players. We actually understand what it means to have a winning mindset. I blog a little bit, and I've been thinking about that and writing about that a little bit, about what it means to have a winning mindset and how a winning mindset can take you from a team that, out of those 8 games that come down to the wire, and instead of being 4-4 in those games, you're 7-1 in those games, right? You're 8-0 in those games. We're developing that mindset, and that's what I have already seen, even in OTAs, and that's what we get to look forward to during training camp.
You know, Sam, when I look at yourself, I look at Willie Young, Lamar Houston, Leonard Floyd, and Pernell McPhee. When I look at that outside linebacker position of the Chicago Bears, not only is it deep, but I look at it as one of the most competitive positions going into training camp because you have a healthy Lamar, you're healthy, and you have a healthy Willie Young. Do you agree that that could probably be one of the most competitive and best positions of the defense?
I do agree, and I think it has to be. And going back to Coach Fangio and what he believes in and what works is that he believes that in order for a 3-4 defense to be great, the outside linebackers have to dominate. Simple as that. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's no way around it. And to be frank, we didn't do enough of that last year, myself included. And so in order for us to be a great defense, our outside linebackers have to be great. And so I think you talk about the players, talk about Willie Young, talk about Lamar Houston, Pernell, myself, even some of the young additions we have in Leonard Floyd, and then even Christian Jones, who, some of these guys who have ability to play multiple positions. It's exciting when you see the competition.
You know, it's interesting, Sam, because Tom brought up about how intense training camp was a year ago, first year under John Fox. I guess, what are your expectations going into year two? Do you want him to ride you guys harder? Because, just to really improve upon, does it need to be a hard camp for the Chicago Bears here in 2016?
Yeah, I honestly think that the players are the ones who really are the ones to determine what camp is going to look like. Obviously, the coach can grind you and all that kind of stuff, but I think that the players, when they want to compete, when we want to compete, we're going to compete. And I saw that in OTAs. I saw players competing for spots, players competing to be the best, competing against one another. And, of course, as a player, you want to have the best camp, whether easy or hard. I don't care how it is. You want to do what you can to win games. But the players individually, we're competing more and we're gelling more, and it's making us better as a team.
You know, Sam, one of the things about the Bears fans we haven't seen in quite a while is practicing against another team. And now you guys are going to spend a couple days in New England. How does that help the growth of a football team? Not only the experiences of traveling together, but also being able to go out there and see different personnel that, you know, you're not used to seeing the stance of Kyle Long or Bobby Massey or Charles Leno Jr. Now you're looking at stances of different offensive linemen for a few days. Have you had the experience of practicing against a different team in your NFL past, and how will that help the Bears this year?
Yeah, well, last year we had a chance to practice against Indy, which was a great experience. And then a couple years ago when I was with the Cardinals, we got a chance to practice a couple days against Kansas City before we played them. And a lot of players don't necessarily like it because logistically, you know, you're staying somewhere else and you're you got to move and get up, and you're already in training camp. Now you got to go, you know, go to a different state or city, whatever. But as far as competition goes, it's impossible. I mean, it is impossible not to take your game up to another level when you're playing against other guys. It's just impossible because it's the competitive instinct and nature that we have. We see these scrimmages and these practices against other teams almost like games, because it's like, okay, I might go against this guy in the future in the playoffs or whatever, or what have you. And so these, you know, our time against New England, this training camp is going to be fun because we get a chance to see guys we're not used to, but also we get a chance to compete at an even higher level when competition is already at a all-time high.
Well, you just get the sense of the passion in your voice, Sam. You are pretty fired up. You know, let me ask you this in terms of going to Bears camp down at Olivet Nazarene. And I think, you know, football, pro football, is one of the greatest pro sports that allows fans to get up close and personal. Anything surprise you? Do you notice when you're on the field practice and the fan reaction? Because a lot of Bears fans really enjoy going down to watch you guys work.
Well, it's funny because you know, I play defense, I play linebacker, and so most times when I'm doing my drills, the fans are watching the one-on-ones with the receivers and the DBs, and they're cheering and screaming at the one-handed catches. So I'm not really getting too much love in that regard. But it's always fun to be able to see how passionate the fans are when they come out to Olivet Nazarene. And even, to be honest, I get a chance to see a couple familiar faces. I have some friends who live in Chicago. They'll make the drive to Olivet Nazarene, and they'll come watch a game, and I'll go after and say hi to them. It brings training camp to life a little bit.
Hey Sam, for the people, and maybe put on your broadcasting hat for a second. Can you give us a snippet of Kevin White? What did you see out of him at OTAs, and what do you expect out of a guy like this that had the experience of an injury season, but now there's big expectations of him on the offensive side of the ball for us Bears fans?
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone has higher expectations of Kevin White than Kevin White. I mean, he puts a lot on himself. He knows what he's capable of. So that's exciting when you got a guy who knows what he can do and he wants to go out there and compete every day. He's very competitive in everything. I mean, we go against each other in Connect Four, and he always talks about he's the best, and he says I'm number two, which I completely disagree with, because I beat him more than he's beat me. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, Kev is obviously, okay, he's big, he's fast, he's explosive, he can run, he can move. It's hard to ask for too much more from a wide receiver. Obviously, he's got a chance to be around Eddie Royal, who's taught him a lot about angles and hands and different techniques and catching. So I'm excited. I mean, say put on my broadcasting hat, I got to put on my hat as a teammate, as a guy whose locker is right next to him. And I love seeing him compete. I love seeing him work. And I'm excited to see what he does during training camp.
Well, you've talked about the improvement of the defense overall. And what personally for you, what improvement were you looking from within yourself or areas you wanted to work on in your game? Do you feel you've accomplished that getting ready for training camp?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I wanted to improve is my mindset. You know, I'm being in Arizona for 4 years and being around guys like Patrick Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Ty Matthew. I mean, the culture there and the mindset was just a winning mindset nonstop. And you know, when you don't have that, when you haven't won a lot, you're probably not going to have that mindset. And so the biggest thing I wanted to improve is that in everything I did, I wanted to have that winning mindset. So I've tried to do that in the offseason, obviously in training and even in just my everyday life, right, competing against different guys, trying to have that mindset of, hey, I'm a champion, I'm victorious. And that's the mindset we have to have in – As a team. If you want to be a winning team, you have to believe that you're a winning team. And so, for me, it's been the mindset aspect. And throwing a little pass rush as well. I got to get better at pass rush.
You know, Sam, last question for me is that, you know, Danny Trevathan came over here as a free agent. I think it says a lot about the respect he has for Coach John Fox. But when you put him in the middle of your defense, it seems like he speeds up the communication. He has a better understanding of what the message is to the entire front seven. Is that something that you've seen out of Danny Trevathan, or is it something that he still needs some time with the new personnel he has around him, and will he be able to upgrade this defense from the interior outwards?
Yeah, well, the first thing I noticed about Danny Trey is how incredible of an athlete he is. You know, that's the first thing that jumps out. The game is moving more towards a passing, you know, maybe even you could say check down league. And so as a linebacker, you have to be able to match quick running backs. Think about guys like Danny Woodhead and, you know, think about those kind of backs. You have to be able to match those guys. And Danny Trevathan is as quick as any running back in the NFL, right? And so you have that aspect of his game. And secondly, he's also explosive. And so if you're a linebacker and you're quick and you're explosive, there's not much more that you need. You don't need to be short and 60 pounds and all that kind of stuff. No, you need to be fast and you need to be able to move. And he has that ability. And then couple that with his mind, right? He's a smart player. He's been playing for a couple of years. He knows what it takes to win. And you got yourself a recipe for success.
Well, last one before we let you go, Sam, because a week from now, you already have your first practice done, not in pads, down in Bourbonnais, Illinois at Bears camp. And I don't know, what's one luxury item that you can't do without? Are you a light packer? What do you got to travel with when you go down to camp?
I'm a light packer, and I'm also a last-minute packer. It's the only time you ever hear me say anything about being a packer. And so a lot of times I don't even pack too much. I don't really need too much. I usually when training camp comes around, I just try to take as little as possible and focus on the day-to-day grind. And so luxury item, I don't know. I mean, I usually let the other guys bring the, you know, the video games, FIFA, and I'll play on the PlayStation with those guys.
All right. Well, Sam, we'll let you go. Good luck to you at training camp. Good luck to you during the season. We'll see you down there. All the Bears fans are all excited year awesome. Two and see where this team can go. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Tom.
Sam Acho, everybody, outside linebacker of the Chicago Bears. And, Tom, we've talked about the upgrades. Inside backer that now looks like a strength in that 3-4 defense. And we're going to break down much more on the other side. Want to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Plus, we'll take you around the NFC North as Bears camp just around the corner. Keep it right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for a free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and much, much more. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, we've got you for another half hour. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. Great stuff from Bears outside linebacker Sam Acho as he joined us on the program talking about just how further along they are in year two and how the team is competing, the significant upgrades at the middle backer position. Once was a weakness a year ago, but Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman come in. They draft Leonard Floyd, who has the trait of speed, and then Jonathan Bullard, also a guy who can get to the pass rusher. He could contribute as a rookie as well. And thoughts on that, Tom, because that really seems to be the key for Sam Acho. They are just so much further along. The upgrades at the inside backer position should be able to cover backs out of the backfield, tight ends that times could have been problematic for the Bears a year ago. This defense is much more formidable in 2016.
Oh, Jim, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the intelligence factor has a lot to play into why the Bears defense should be a lot better, because they're going to be able to play faster. Eddie Goldman has upgraded his body, and he showed signs of brilliance as a rookie, and I think he can be a lot better into a second and third year, so on and so on. Then they brought in Hicks, who's a big man. You talk about a defensive and defensive technique that can move in over the guard. He can play it all up and down the line of scrimmage. He's big and he has quickness. And then you put in Bullard and the rest of the guys that are going to be able to contribute up on that defensive line. I think you're going to see a lot more efficiency out of it because, you know, when you talk about players who aren't here and players that are now here, it's no slight to the guys that aren't here, because I think Christian Jones has the ability to play in the NFL. He just needs experience. He needs a lot of practice reps to make sure that he uses his ability, his quickness, his athleticism to be in the right position. But when then you're trying to take a player like Shea McClellan, teach him a new position while he's trying to learn it himself with terminology, calling the plays in the huddle, and then the three or four 4 subtle adjustments an offense makes before they snap the ball, it completely confuses a player that's trying to learn the system. And that's what you're not going to get from Danny Trevathan. You're going to have a guy that's been at that position his whole career. He understands the mind of Vic Fangio and the tech and the terminology that he's making, that he's using in the huddle to put everybody in place. Now, he's going to be able to make the adjustments on the defensive line to put them in more efficient positions as the offense changes. And then he and Jarrell Freeman on the inside are going to be able to flow faster to the football because they understand what they're seeing. And then we talked about the personnel group of the outside linebackers, and you're talking about a position that's 6 deep of quality players. I think all that, in you put all that together, your defense is upgraded significantly because you have intelligence that's in the huddle calling the play and make sure the adjustments are made efficiently, made before the snap of the ball, and you're still, your flow to the football is a lot quicker. So I just have a good feeling about how these linebackers are going to be, the interior linebackers are going to make the entire front of the defense flow faster, work more efficiently. And then you have the size of Eddie Goldman, you have the size of Hicks, you have Bullard, you have Mitch Unrein, you have the other guys that are going to be contributing up front. I see it as a bigger, faster flowing defense, which is going to help the defensive backs be able to go through their paces while they're getting pressure onto the quarterback, not a quarterback that's just standing back there freely with no pressure on him, being able to pick apart the defensive back. So I think the front 7, the front 8 are going to be able to help the defensive backs work more efficiently.
Yeah, I think the Bears are an underrated team as they get set to head to training camp. Certainly everybody's going to start picking their favorites, who could be the leader in the division. We'll get to the division in just a little bit, but you get the sense of optimism from Sam Acho. You've gone through it as a player. I've gone through it where you have that optimism as a new football season is about to embark. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I think all those variables that you mentioned that are ongoing, you know, how the team gels together and new players added, and are you going to, you know, I mentioned to Sam about last year, I saw glimpses that they were going to fight for one another, but I wanted to get your take. Because, you know, I go back to your 85 Bears team. I got to believe when you guys came out of training camp, one, y'all liked each other and a lot of different personalities. But you say, you know, we got a chance. We got a chance here to do something special. Maybe thoughts on that, because Sam seems to have that type of optimism.
Well, you know what? I think the key element here is we knew every day going to practice what Coach Ditka expected out of us in terms of the effort we are going to give, how strict the practices were going to be, how physical our time and full pads were going to be on the field. And that was one of the uncertainties for all of us as Bears fans, as broadcasters, and as players. You just didn't know what John Fox expected out of you. Now each and every one of these guys know. Even if you're a rookie, you're able to get the message from the veterans about what's expected of you when you come through those gates over in Bourbon A. And when you put on your helmet, you expect to go full speed. The time that you are in full pads is going to be a physical practice. He's not going to shortcut it. He's not going to give you plays off. He's not going to give you an opportunity to slide through a drill because maybe it's a little bit hotter than normal. No way. This is the understanding. This is how you develop that camaraderie that you talk about, Jim. That's how you become friends. Because as I look at you sweating through your helmet and streaming down your face, you're looking right back at me, and I'm going through the same thing. So again, I think, too, is, you know, we all grew to respect what John Fox was expecting out of his players in training camp last year. And it helped so much because, you know, it's not a powder puff camp anymore. It's a physical football camp. And I think you want to bring that physical approach to New England, even when you go there. And that's what I like about this upcoming training camp is now every one of these guys, whether you're a veteran that's been around 6, 8, 9 years, or you're a guy that's in his first, second, or third year, you know what's expected out of you of each of your position coaches and from the head man, John Fox.
Well, we've got plenty more topics to get to. How about the retirement of Peanut Tillman? We'll get around the division of the NFC North, but we're going to open up the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Jose, who's joining us from Deerfield. Thanks for joining us, Jose. What do you got today?
It was a pleasure to talk to you, Jim and Tom. I just wanted to talk about with Peanut Tillman announcing his retirement, and we as Bears fans and you all haven't been associated with the team of what he's done for this organization. But I had a two-part question. Is was it ever debated amongst your peers in the business of why a guy like Tillman didn't get voted into the Pro Bowl more often earlier in his career as he did late? Or do you feel that it's because of the fact that he was in the shadows on a national scale to an Urlacher, a Briggs, even a Tommy Harris early on in his career, that sort of his shine didn't come till late? And my other question is, Tom, since I know a few weeks ago you were talking about the number of players that succeeded under Buddy Ryan that you played with, and you've seen Tillman's career, a lot of great players come here, and your perspective is different because you grew up in Chicago, so you've seen a lot more players than most. Where does Charles Tillman rank among the better defensive players for this franchise?
I think he's one of the best defensive players that the Chicago Bears as a franchise have had the luck of being able to watch and watch him develop. I do think he has to get Hall of Fame consideration when you look at the entirety of his career in his production, not only as a defensive back that's covering wide receivers or getting to his pass coverage responsibilities downfield, but also the way he supported the run on the edge. Whether he was taking out an offensive lineman and making him miss and getting into the legs of a running back, he did not shy away from anything. And that's what I always respected about Charles Tillman. And, you know, is his continuous development, and I always talking to someone the other day, talk about the footprint you leave when you leave the NFL. And Charles Tillman is going to be remembered for so many things, and you know, whether it's a great interception against Randy Moss in the end zone or the way he got in between the ball carrier and his adjustments he made before receivers got complete control of the ball. Because what Charles Tillman left behind in the NFL is now taught in a Pop Warner level. It's taught in high school. It's taught on the college level. They have films of what Charles Tillman was able to do and how he was able to react in according to how the offensive player was going to flow in order to dislodge the football. Whether it's a punch from behind or watching a receiver come to him and try to make an adjustment before his feet hit the ground. It was an incredible, difficult way of succeeding in the NFL because football moves so quickly in front of you. You have to think at Peanut's mind how quickly his mind was moving in the flow of the play, whether it was a slant route in front of him or a receiver that got beyond him and he was in chasing from behind. And you know, Jim, it's weird because when I think about Charles, I think about the interception he made against Randy Moss against the Minnesota Vikings, but the message that he left in the NFL is the way that he was so creative in creating fumbles up and down the board.
Yeah, 38 career interceptions. You mentioned the punch outs, and I agree with you on Hall of Fame consideration. Why? Because he was an impactful player in the game. You know, I was talking to former defensive coordinator Mike Nolan. He used to show tapes of Peanut Tillman to all his defensive backs. Do what this guy does. You know, learn that that tactic and that style of play of Peanut Tillman. And I'm with Jose on, to me, he should have been more of just a two-time Pro Bowler.
I agree.
Because what he was asked to do, especially in Lovey's defense, that guy would go man-to-man against Kelvin Johnson, who roughshotted everybody in the NFL. And he was called to that assignment. And Kelvin Johnson never had a big day against Chicago Bears. And Tillman, it's almost like he looked at that as a challenge, and he was going against, without a doubt, everybody would say Megatron was the most talented receiver in the National Football League, and that guy manned him up every single time. 13 amazing years, 12 great years for the Chicago Bears. Go check out his post on YouTube, and it's called Peanut Retired. Well, we're not retiring just yet. We're going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Keep it right here on Bears All Access. Hey everyone, get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long. All you have to do is sign up at chicagobears.com/emails. Great stuff there before the break about the great career of Charles Peanut Tillman. He is elected to hang up the cleats and has already accepted a job over there at Fox to do the pregame shows on Sunday. But, you know, it's interesting. There's so much news going on leading up to training camp. Great stuff by Sam Acho, outside linebacker of the Chicago Bears, as he joined us on the show. One last thing I did want to add about Peanut Tillman. I think people forget and they throw things around lightly about what a great guy. This guy was 2013 Walter Payton Man of the Year. That is a high honor about his character and the stuff that he does in the community to give back to so many people. So quality guy, and as Tom mentioned, probably is going to get Hall of Fame consideration. Well, leading up to training camp, Tom, the Bears still aren't done making moves. The Bears add former second rounder of the Carolina Panthers, Amini Silatolu, to the roster, offensive lineman. Maybe talk about his game and the Bears getting more depth on that offensive line.
I think it's great for the competitiveness of the position. Here's a guy that came out of a small school, was a second-round draft choice, and then went to immediate contributor on their offensive line. In the Panthers, they always had a quality offensive line out there, and there was a really diverse offensive line because you have a quarterback like Cam Newton. However, whenever you're able to come in and play immediately, it shows you something about your football intelligence, that you're able to understand the system well enough to go out there and work in game conditions. So I expect him to come in here and compete in training camp to make sure that they consider him a competitor on the offensive line. You know, that left guard position is wide open. And if you can bring in more competitiveness out there, you're going to be able to help the overall offensive line. And you're talking about a guy that's 6'3 and a half, in between 311 and 320 pounds, moves well, has a good power base, and strong. I like it because going into camp, I thought the offensive line and the linebacker position were two of the strengths of this football team. So whenever you can bring in an offensive line that has experience, game started, you know, a considerable amount of game started, nothing's too big for him. So when he takes the field for the first time in training camp, yeah, it's going to be a process of him listening to everything offensive line coach Dave Magazoo has to say. Pay attention in meetings. Spend some of your personal time on your iPad understanding the terminology and what your assignments are. But again, here's a guy that if you're hungry, here's a door that is possibly open for you to come in here and earn an opportunity to play for the Chicago Bears.
Good points, because nothing is going to be given to Cody Whitehair, the second-round draft pick by the Chicago Bears out of Kansas State. You bring in another veteran, push him, bring him along. But I also think what's interesting, Tom, is we've talked, training camp is much different. You know, we talked about the reps, the practice schedules, much different. It's not the two-a-days where guys used to hammer at each other a long time ago. But I thought it was pretty interesting because in the division, Jeff Schwartz is an offensive lineman added by the Detroit Lions. And he said, you know, training camp today does a lot of these young players a disservice. They can't work on their techniques. You know, when you're doing two-a-days in pads, you're working on all those techniques that you talk about, kick steps and, you know, how you slide the protections, all those type of things, hand movement in terms of the run game and where you need to place your hands on your opponent. How much more difficult do you think it is today with a guy like Cody Whitehair who will be going into his first rookie training camp who may not get the double reps like you and I used to get back in the day?
Yeah, you know, it is a disadvantage because, you know, one thing about offensive football, it's repetitiously done. If you're going to put in a new – if Dal Logans is going to put in a new offensive play, Jim, you need to run it 100 times as a group of 11 in order to get it done perfectly against every single defense you're going to see. You probably don't have those reps in the morning, but when they go to that afternoon practice, that's more of a walkthrough. You have to stay so mentally engaged that you do not ever have mental errors. You cannot make mistakes. You're not afforded that luxury anymore. If you're going through an exhaustive morning practice, you have a little time for lunch, then you're going to an equally exhaustive practice in the afternoon. No, now you have to exhaust yourself in the morning. You have to go there and hydrate and eat lunch and everything, get ready in the middle of the day. But when you go out to that afternoon mental session, it's got to be all about your mind. And that's, I think, one of the elements that when you have a couple of young guys that are competing for a position or trying to learn the system perfectly against every single defense they're going to see throughout the season, you got to take advantage of it. And it's, you know, yeah, it's probably unfortunate for us that we had to go through so many brutal practices during the course of a training camp, but you know, nowadays it is a new game. It's a different way they go about their business. So they do have to take advantage of that mental preparation time. So when they get into their first reps in a preseason game, that they are mentally perfect. You're going to make some physical mistakes, and they're going to be able to correct those, and they're going to be able to give you those instructions by watching tape. But if you go out there and you blow a snap count, if you go out there and you blow an assignment, if you go the wrong directions, those things are hard to correct repeatedly. So, again, mentally, you have to be so strong into the game that that's not one of your disadvantages that you create.
Yeah, these rookies, they definitely got to be quick studies nowadays in the National Football League, and we'll see what Cody Whitehair can do, his rookie training camp. First one, as the Bears head down to Bourbonnais, Illinois next Thursday, Tom and I are getting fired up. We got to hit the last break. You can light up the phone lines, 312-644-6767, and we'll go around the division as well on the other side. Keep it right here on Bears All Access. Chicago Bears Youth Football Camps brought to you by Athletico and Gatorade provide safe, non-contact instruction and fun for summer camp schedule and locations. Visit bearscamps.com. As we wrap up here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. And Tom, let's take a quick look around the division that the Bears, I think it's going to be very competitive, the NFC North. It has gotten a lot tighter, in my opinion. To start with the Detroit Lions. You know, you look at Jim Caldwell, he's left hanging in the wind. They bring in a new general manager in Bob Quinn, and they drafted big. A'shaun Robinson, the big D tackle from Alabama. Miles Killebrew is a huge safety that they drafted. But there's no Kelvin Johnson in the lineup, and you just wonder if Matthew Stafford can carry that team without Kelvin Johnson. Just your thoughts on the Detroit Lions and what you've seen this
season. You know, real quickly, I always thought Matthew Stafford's production was all about Kelvin Johnson. And now when you lose players 2 years in a row of Adamakah Sue and Kelvin Johnson's type of locker room status, I think that's extremely hard to overcome. Who is going to come back in and have that attitude? Because I thought when they had Kelvin Johnson, every game was winnable because they had one of the best receivers in the NFL. Now is Matthew Stafford going to have the ability to both develop a receiver and have that championship attitude, or that attitude that at least Kelvin Johnson and Adamakah Sue brought with them?
Hey, the narrative on the Green Bay Packers, they're getting back Jordy Nelson. They'll be all good offensively up there in Green Bay. Did draft Jason Spriggs and Kenny Clark on the O&D lines to really beef up areas of depth. What do you think about the Packers?
You know, Clay Matthews going back to outside linebacker and staying there could be really important for their defense if they got the right guy to come and play on the inside. And you talked about Kenny Clark. But, hey, if Aaron Rodgers lines up, I still think he's one of the best players in all the NFL. So I have so much respect for his ability. I know he's a Packer, and it's hard for to say it, but it's still Aaron Rodgers, and he's a great player.
Well, the bullseye's on Minnesota back. Does when you look at their young quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, they drafted Laquon Treadwell. Good-looking football team. Your thoughts, Minnesota?
You know, I think a lot of offseason preparation by Adrian Peterson, doing jiu-jitsu, a lot of MMA training, trying to limit the fumbles he has. But it seems that the success of that offense still falls on the shoulder of their young quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, it was fun, Tom. Hey, everybody, check out Bears Camp. It opens next Thursday, July 28th, Olivet Nazarene, Bourbonnais, Illinois. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jim Miller. Thanks for joining us on Bears All Access.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.